I'm thankful today for the hope we have in Christ. I'm thankful because of that, He is our hope. Though weeping may endure for the night, joy comes in the morning. Thank the Lord for that hope that we have through this life. Desire your prayers this afternoon. Feel a need of your prayers and the Lord's help. The Lord will bless these words to us. I'd like to look, beginning with a story that I know we're familiar with. We've probably learned from the time we were children. It's found in the book of Luke, the 19th chapter. If I were to title the little message the Lord's given me, it would be, "We Would See Jesus." And there was a man here that wanted to see Jesus. Jesus, as you know, his fame spread abroad quickly. Didn't take a long time after the miracles that he worked and the things that he did, the doctrines that he taught, and so forth, for his name to be noised abroad. And you know how people are, whenever they hear about something, they want to go see for themselves. Sometimes born of curiosity, of interest, I want to know more about this. I've heard about it, I've heard people talking about it, maybe gathered in little circles or friends and acquaintances talking about it. Time whenever they were in the presence of Jesus and the way they felt and the things that they heard and that they saw, and something about it that I want to go see for myself. And so did many people. After he worked miracles, you'll read of times that he went across the sea and trying to get away, trying to go up into the mountain alone to pray, have a little quiet time. Shortly after John the Baptist was killed, in a time of his own natural grief and the things that he was dealing with, tried to get away for a bit, and here comes the multitude. They had heard. There was something of an interest to know more about this Jesus and who he was. So this is the story of a man named Zacchaeus or Zacchaeus. "Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich." This man, don't maybe know a whole lot about him, but no, he wasn't one of the followers of Jesus. He was a publican, one who was a sinner, one who was without the fold or without the camp, without a knowledge of Christ. And Scripture says that he was a rich man. Well, he wanted to see the Lord, and said that he could not for the press because he was little of stature. Whenever he heard that Jesus was going to be passing by, he wanted to see for himself, but there was a hindrance that got in his way. He was small, he was short, he wasn't able, whenever the people were all gathered around, all he could see was backs and arms and look up and see a space of sky over him, he couldn't see anything. So he faced a decision. Do I go back home and I forget my desire to see the Lord? Or am I going to do something about this? He wanted to see the Lord enough that he was willing to overcome the thing that hindered him. That thing about himself that could have been an excuse. "Well, I stayed home today because I was just too short. That every time I try, I just can't see anything. So I just didn't even go." Oh, it's so easy. We talked a little bit this morning about excuses. Whenever those who are bidden to come to the supper, whenever your heart's not in it, whenever you really are wanting and desiring a thing, there are going to be plenty of excuses that present themselves as to why you can't do it, why you're not able to go this time. "Well, I'm sorry, I'm just not able to. I've got this going on. I've got oxen. I've got family. I've got other commitments. I'm just not able to." Well, do you want to or not? Remember, another place that we lived once, there was a family who had been coming out to service for some time and got to where they weren't coming real regularly. And they said, "Well, things are a little tight and we just can't hardly afford the gas money." And sounds like a pretty legitimate excuse. Your vehicle's not going to go very far if you don't have gas money. But then we hear him telling someone after one of the Sundays, "Well, we Sunday we went up to such and such city and went over to the mall and did some shopping and... Now wait a minute. Was this a matter of gas money or was this a matter of what you really want to do? Where your priorities and your desires really are. But Zacchaeus wanted to see the Lord. He had a desire and he was willing to overcome the obstacles to be able to do it. And he ran before him and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And such was the start of a new beginning. For Zacchaeus, a man, was a curiosity, wasn't more. But he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see this one that he had heard about. Job said, speaking of the Lord, he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. There's something better than being just a secondhand witness, just hearing tell of it. We have a song in our hymnal that says, I have read within the Bible. I have read and now I have proved it, the song says. 'Tis true within my heart. There's something better than just a hearsay experience, than just hearing about the way things are or hearing about an experience with the Lord. It's far better to see the Lord for ourselves. So Zacchaeus wanted to see the Lord. And Zacchaeus saw him and it was the start of a new beginning for Zacchaeus. I'd like to look now in the book of John, the 12th chapter. John 12 and beginning in the 20th verse. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. These were Greeks, foreigners, those who were had come, and they too had heard tell about Jesus. And they come to one who very possibly they knew, Philip. They knew that there was a connection of Philip to Jesus. You remember what the woman and those who were gathered around the fire that night that Peter was tempted? You remember what they said? You're one of his, aren't they? Aren't you? You belong to him. You're one of his followers, aren't you? No, I'm not. No, I think I've seen you. I think I've seen you with him. And at one point they said, your speech betrays you. There's a connection of you with Jesus. And so they knew of Philip, that if they came to Philip, they could find Jesus. And what I want us to be challenged with, the little thought this afternoon, is there is a world that needs to see Jesus. First of all, folks, we need to see Jesus. In our problems, in our troubles, in our difficulties of life, we need to get our eyes on Jesus. Whenever we can get distracted and discouraged and looking around at all that's happening around us, if we can get our eyes on Jesus, it makes all the difference. It made all the difference to Peter whenever he took his eyes off of Jesus. Lord, help us to have a desire and a determination to see Jesus. Dear ones, there is a lost and a dying world who desperately needs to see Jesus. And I trust today all of us from different spheres of influence and of contact that we're in, I trust those that we rub shoulders with, those that maybe observe us, that they would realize there is a connection to Jesus. That they'd be able to realize that, you know, he or she, they're one of his. Their speech betrays them. The way they look betrays them. The way they act betrays them. They're one of his followers. And you know, there just might come a time, even those who would stand back and would ridicule or would mock would say, I need help. I'm in a bad way in my life. I need somebody that can talk to me. I need somebody that can pray for me. May we be those who the world can look to. Paul said in one place, I pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled unto God. What an awful responsibility. Awful as in a great responsibility. What a privilege, but what a great responsibility for us to be the representatives of Christ, the ambassadors, Paul also said, that we are the ambassadors of Christ or the representatives of Christ to this world. So whenever they are in need and in trouble, could be able to say, Clint, I need to see Jesus. They may not say those words. I need help. My marriage is in trouble. You know, this has happened to me and that's happened to me and I don't know what to do about it and I'm in trouble. And there's a cry coming up that says, I need Jesus. It wasn't Philip that these individuals were coming to see. They weren't interested in just having a conversation with Philip. And may the Lord help us that what the world sees is not us. Jesus said that men will see your good works and they'll glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lord, help us to never get in the place that we want to be seen, that we want to receive the praise or the credit, that we want to be the ones that people are coming to and recognizing. And people are like that. The Pharisees that Jesus dealt with were like that. They like to be called of men rabbi. In other words, recognizing their place of authority and recognizing their authority in the scriptures and all those sorts of things to be bestowed on them. We're not to be so. It's not us that this world needs to see. It's not our wisdom that this world needs. You know, we can feel many times, I can feel overwhelmed, at a loss. I don't know how to help some people. I don't know what to tell somebody in a situation I myself haven't been in. I don't know what to do. And you know, we as a people, as a body, you know, if we could look around and maybe we'll just use this congregation as an example and say those who are addicted in the furthest reaches of drug addiction and alcohol addiction and those sorts of things and those who are contemplating suicide and all of that, there the world would say, you're not equipped. You don't have a degree in this and a degree in that, and you don't know how to work with this sort of thing and that sort of situation. And I have to say, I don't know all the right answers. I don't know how to go, but it's not me that this world needs to see. It's not my wisdom that this world needs. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. The 25th verse says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That it be not our glory, that it not be about what my wisdom and my ability is, whatever place that we're called to. Every one of us have a place of a ministry of reconciliation to this world. Every one of us who are born again are called to be ambassadors of Christ to this world, to be able to reach those that don't know the gospel, or to reach those that know it in head only, in head knowledge and in mind only, but don't know what a relationship with the Lord is. To be able to be one who stands there, to be able to say, let me show you Jesus. Let me point you to Jesus. We have this treasure, the scripture says. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the glory may be of God and not of us. That it's not about who we are, what we're able to do, or whatever place we're called to in our lives or in the body of Christ. It's not me that you need to see. It's not you that I need to see in the body of Christ. It is God's calling, and it is His working through any one of us that will be of any profit to the body of Christ, that will be of any edifying, that no flesh should glory in His presence, that it not be about me, that it not be about you, or that I be seen, or that you be seen, and the things that we do, that somehow they be to bring glory to ourselves. Do you know, even humility, voluntary humility, can be self-serving? You know, it can be in such a way that really shows how humble I am, how meek and how humble I really am. And it can be a pretense that's there that really just brings glory around to myself. That's not what the Lord's interested in. That's not what this world needs. It's not about us being on display. It's a song that we sing, Only an Earthen Vessel. I am only an earthen vessel, all excellences of the Lord. For alone I am worthless and empty, and nothing of profit afford. I am only an earthen vessel, but Jesus has pleasure in me. While I gladly submit to His purpose, a vessel to honor I'll be. So may the Lord help us in our lives whenever the people like the Greeks come along saying, we've heard this. We've heard, and you know, it doesn't always come in the form of we're coming on bowed knee, repenting and crying, saying, I want salvation. Might not even know what salvation is. Might be like Nicodemus. And what do you mean to be born again? But there's a spark. There's an interest. There's a curiosity. Lord, help us to be in the place that first those that are in the world around us know of somebody, us, that they can come to that has a connection to Jesus. That they can know, and I've heard of Jesus. And certainly have seen many people, many poor examples of Christianity, many poor examples of who Christ is. Whenever there should be that little spark of curiosity, I've heard that He's able. How can I find out more? How can I know? And who knows the place that each one of us might be placed into, to be able to reach out and say, Jesus is over here. Let me point you to Him. Let me introduce you to Jesus. Let me show you to Him. We've got to be in a place that this world will recognize there's a connection with Jesus. You know, the enemy would like for us to be ashamed of that connection. And we might think, as Peter, I'd never be ashamed. I'm one of His. You know, when the rubber met the road, when it came down to the pressure itself in the moment, Peter chose to look the other way. Peter chose to say, no, I don't know him. I want to just fit in. You know, that temptation can be there for us. Where the Lord's saying, I want this world to recognize. They need to know where to go. That's why Jesus said, be a city that's set on a hill. Don't put your light under a candle. That's why the pressure of the world is, well, you can't. Every voice is welcome in this conversation but yours. We don't need that in this discussion. We don't need one of your kind. So just kind of sit back in the corner and be quiet. Lord, help us by our good conversation that we'd be able to convince the gainsayers, that we'd be able to show them a connection. You know, it can be simple things like things the world doesn't do before they eat a meal, to bow our heads in prayer. You know, we don't oftentimes know who's watching, who just took note in a glance of something about a mental note. There's something there. They've got a connection. They're doing it. It's not to bring glory to themselves. Nope, didn't even know maybe anybody was looking, but I noticed that. I noticed the way they responded whenever they were railed against over there on the other aisle. I heard the way that they responded. Maybe I don't come like the Greeks, not coming saying, we want salvation. But there's a seeking after. There's something within them that's saying, we want something here. We want something more. We would see Jesus. In some of our pulpits, different congregations, LaRonger's one of them, I believe Monarch, that little saying is right up there in the pulpit. Sir, we would see Jesus. Because you know it's a good reminder to a minister standing in the pulpit. Lord, help us to be hidden. That it not be about an exhibition of my wisdom and my ability and my authority and who I am and all. But Lord, may it be Jesus and Jesus only. In our lives and whatever we might do with the desire of being a blessing and a prophet to the kingdom of God will only come as we heard in the Sunday school this morning about John the Baptist. Whenever John was in a place that his time on earth and his mission, he was called to a very important place as a forerunner of Christ. And he fulfilled and executed that faithfully. But whenever the time came that he was to fade off into the background now, and now Jesus' ministry, he is becoming forefront. And people come to him and ask him, don't you realize that more people are following him and more people are being baptized under him? And don't you know and recognize that, why, that used to be you. You used to be the one getting all the attention. And that's the way the enemy would like to work with our flesh. As the scripture says, that no flesh should glory in his presence. There's not room for the flesh to be on display in worship of the Lord. In the service of the Lord, there's no room for the flesh to be on display or exhibition, but it's to be Jesus only. But John didn't let the flesh rise up. John didn't rise up and say, well, I'm going to go call him back in here and we're going to reestablish ourselves. But he rather rejoiced. He said, the bridegroom, it's not about the attention of the bridegroom. It's not about when you go to a wedding and say, oh, look at the bridegroom and all eyes are fixed on him or the maid of honor. And that's not where the attention is focused. They're there for a reason. They're there to serve in the honor of those who are being wed. And that's all we're to do, is to serve in his honor, to point attention to Jesus Christ in our lives. That it's not about us. It's not about if I get attention or recognition or any of that. But Lord, help me to point people to you. So John the Baptist rejoiced. And he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Oh Lord, help us to have that same mindset, that same spirit to say, Lord, help me to decrease. Lord, the flesh that would try to rise up, Lord, help me to die out to that, to sanctify that. Lord, help me to let you increase through me. You know, when we get real serious about working for the Lord, when we get real serious about being available for the Lord, you know, it's not even about so much, Lord, give me a work. Lord, give me a ministry. Lord, help me to have somebody or something that I can do. You know where it starts? Lord, help me to decrease. Lord, help me to empty out. Help me to get rid of me. Help me to get rid of self and who I am that would naturally want to be on display. Lord, help me to get as low as I can, as small as I can, as like that corn of wheat that's sown into the ground and it dies. But if it doesn't die, it abides alone. If it falls down and it dies, dying out to ourself, dying out to the flesh, dying out to us and our identity and our recognition and our pride and those sorts of things, until that happens, the growth can't really come in our lives that the Lord is wanting. For Him to be magnified and glorified in our lives and through us. May the Lord help us, each one, that we would be able, first of all, as John said, I believe in 1 John 1:1, that which we have seen from the beginning, which our eyes have seen and our hands have handled, of the truth of life, of Jesus Christ, the one who at Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. We've seen Him for ourselves. Our hands have handled for ourselves. You know, for us to be able to be in the place that the world around us can say, would you pray for me? Could you help me? We need first to see for ourselves. We need first to handle for ourselves. It doesn't suffice for us to say, well, I've heard of this. Well, here's what I heard Brother so-and-so say. Here's what I think the way that it is. But for me to be able to handle for myself first in my life, that's where it starts. Lord, help me to get to know You just as well as I can, to get just as close to the Lord as I can. And as we truly put effort into and determination into, Lord, I want to empty out just as much as I can. Lord, prepare me. I don't know what You want to prepare me for. I don't know what work You might have me to do, whether small or great, whatever it might be. But when we start with this, Lord, help my hands to handle of You, of Your Word, of Your things, in my experiences, in my life, in my test. The Scripture says of comfort, that ye may be able to comfort others with the same comfort wherewith ye yourself were comforted. Once I've known and I've come to the Lord for myself for comfort, and I found that strength and I found that comfort, and I've handled and tasted for myself, then I can be in a place that I can begin to say, let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Let me tell you how the Lord has helped me. That carries a lot more weight than hearsay. Sir, we would see Jesus. There's a song. Maybe you've heard, let me see Jesus only. It says, dead in every worldly pleasure, dead indeed to sin am I, but alive to Christ my Savior, daily to Him I'm drawing nigh. Let me see Jesus only, Jesus only, Jesus only. Let me see Jesus only He can satisfy. Whenever we're in trouble in our life, to be able to look unto Him and find the source of strength that He brings and the comfort and the help that He has to offer, and we'd be able to be to the world around us that doesn't know, one who can say, I know where Jesus is. I talked to Him just this morning. I know who He is. Let me tell you about Him. Let me introduce you to Him. You know, it doesn't take a theology degree. You know, it doesn't take going to so many years of seminary to be able to know the theological arguments and counter arguments and all. You know, it takes an experience with Jesus. It takes a love for Jesus and a relationship with Him and an openness and honesty to say, like the man that was blind from birth. Jesus healed him, and the Pharisees got in there, the ones that were learned in the law. You know, if you were to send somebody up against them to argue with them, it seemed like you'd want somebody of equal caliber, of understanding, of learning, education, and all of that, to be able to go head to head. This man didn't have that. But this man had something so much greater. My eyes have seen. My hands have handled. I've seen for myself. And he said, whether this man be a sinner or no, all the theological arguments and the doctrines and all that you're throwing, I don't know what to say to all that. I don't know. But here's the thing I do know. I encountered Jesus for myself. I met Jesus, and I can tell you what he's done for me. Folks, what a powerful testimony, a ministry that the Lord wants to give to every one of us to be able to help those around us, that they too might say, we would see Jesus. You pray for me. Amen.